Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Got a question for you to start off this message here today. What is the safest place in the world? I actually looked this up this week, and I found it a little depressing. And this is why. The safest place in the world is certainly not in your automobile, because automobiles are responsible for 20% of fatal accidents. But don't think you can just stay home and be safe, because 17% of all accidents occur in the home. Well, you want to make sure that you avoid walking on streets or sidewalks, because 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. You also want to avoid traveling by air, rail, or water, because 16% of all accidents involve these forms of transportation. There's only 33% left, and 33% of those deaths, 32% of accidents occur in hospitals. So above all, avoid hospitals. Well, if that sounds depressing, you'll be pleased to know that only 0.001% of all deaths occur in church. And these are usually related to previous physical disorders. Therefore, logic tells you that the safest place in the world is right where you are today, in church. Now, that may be a little funny, that might be a little depressing, but you know, there are people in the world today, a whole bunch of them, that see the world through that perspective. There's no safe place to go. There's danger on every side. And so they live their lives in fear. In fact, I would say that since 2020, the pandemic, there are hordes of people who are paralyzed with fear. They think, I can't go in the car. I can't stay at home. I can't go to the hospital. No matter where I go, I'm surrounded by danger. And that is really no way to live, is it? But like I said, I think there are hordes of people throughout our world that are living exactly that way. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you went through a period of time like that in your life. Maybe you can relate, because you kind of feel that way here today. Well, if so, I've got some good news for you here this morning. As we continue our sermon series, Good to His Word, looking at God's amazing promises for our life, we're going to be looking at this promise that God has made to us. God will run protection for you. God will run protection for you. We see this all over the scriptures. A whole bunch we see it in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 5, it says, but let all who take refuge in you be glad, Lord. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. I love that picture of God surrounding us as with a shield of protection wherever we go in our lives. In Psalm 32, it says, you are my hiding place, God. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. In Psalm 121, it says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over both your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. I hope as we go through this message and look at these passages here today, that anxiety That fear will just start to drain out of you as you hear God's promises to you. And then there's the ultimate psalm when it comes to God's protection over us. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He's my fortress, my God, in whom I trust for my protection." Doesn't that sound good? Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High can afford to rest because they're in the shadow of the Almighty One who is there to protect you. Like I said, this is probably the foremost psalm in all of Scripture when it comes to God's protective hand over us. Now, maybe throughout this week or in the weeks to come, you'll go, "You know what? I'm having this fear rise up within me. What psalm was that? I can't remember what psalm it was that Pastor said for me to read when I start to get scared." Well, here's an easy way to remember it. Psalm 91, verse 1, or you can just remember, call 911. Psalm 91, verse 1 and following. And then if you continue on, it says, "Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence." Translation, He'll save you from harm and danger, and He'll save you from sickness and disease. "He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be," here it is again, "your shield and your rampart. You will say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and if you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." One of the primary ways that the Lord does His protective business over us is by sending His mighty angels to protect us and to take care of our needs. This week online, I heard a great story that was shared, 1.5-minute clip.
"I ran over something in the highway, and I happened to look down at my fuel gauge, and it was going like this. And the fuel was just pouring out on the highway. And then I saw some lights in the rearview mirror, and he pulled in right behind me. I told him what had happened. He said, 'I can help. This is what I'm here for.' He towed me over to a service station, and there was one little cafe next door to it. Pulls out a set of keys, turns the lights on. Then he repaired my car, and he filled it up with fuel. I said, 'How much do I owe you, sir?' He said, 'Nothing. That's what I'm here for.' The following week, I wanted to stop by there and thank him. The station was closed. The little cafe next door was open. So I walked over there, and I said, 'Sir, do you know the man that owns this service station?' He said, 'Son, that station's been closed for years.' I said, 'No, sir. Last week, there was a man turned the lights on. He repaired my tank, filled my car up with gas.' He said, 'Well, it couldn't happen here. It does not have any fuel in those pumps, and the electricity's been shut off for years.' I said, 'Lord, what was that all about?' He said, 'Do you remember what the man kept saying to you? It's what I'm here for. It's what I'm here for.'"
How cool is that? From Hebrews chapter 1, it says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have been baptized, you are those who will inherit salvation. And so God sends His angels to minister to your needs. Maybe you've had an experience like that in your life. I've had one. My wife and I were talking this week. We think she has had two in her life where we knew that something was really going on, where there was a heavenly helper there to come to our rescue and bring the protection that God had promised through His word. In Proverbs 18, it says, "The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Once again, a really great analogy. God is like a fortified tower. And if you run into it, you're going to be safe. So what does that look like? What does it mean? How do we run into the fortified tower that is the Lord and is His name? Well, remember this. Every one of God's promises, we receive by faith. When Jesus came here 2,000 years ago, He suffered and died for the sins of the whole world, that the whole world would have their sins washed away, and that the whole world could have a relationship with God. But it doesn't become my promise. It doesn't help me at all until I receive that by faith. And when I receive that by faith, when I say, "Jesus, I believe that You did this," then all of that now becomes mine. And every one of God's promises, including the promises that we're talking about here today, are received by faith. What does that look like? Well, first of all, I can't rely on God's promises until I know them. And I can't know them until I open God's word and read and meditate on what promises God has made in His word. Then once I find a promise that matches my situation, then I go humbly before the Lord, and in the name of Jesus, I ask that that promise would apply to me. And then, simply, what do I do after saying amen? I trust. I put my trust in Him, that those eternal promises made by the God who does not change, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is making that promise for me. And I put my trust in it. I receive it by faith, and it becomes mine. Those who run into that strong tower are safe. Now, maybe you're out there and you're thinking something like this. "You're right, Pastor. Those are some amazing promises, and I understand what you're saying. But how do we deal with the times that people seemingly aren't saved from harm and danger?" Maybe that's what you're thinking right now. I know as I was writing this message, I was having some of those thoughts. And as I was writing, I kept on thinking about Bailey Anderson. The Andersons, I know you know, are a big part of this congregation, and Tracy and Bailey were actually in service last night. On September 14th, Bailey and her friend Sam were in a really terrible accident down in Texas. A woman that had been drinking all night got into the car and was driving 100 miles an hour the wrong way down the freeway and hit them head on, going 100 miles an hour. When the policeman arrived on the scene and he saw the two mangled cars, he thought he was just going to be pulling bodies out of the cars. And when he came up to the car, he was shocked to see that Bailey and Sam were somehow, some way, still alive. And he was able to pull them out of the car right before the car burst into flames. The police officer is there in the picture down in the lower left-hand corner visiting with Bailey. Over the next 6 weeks, Bailey and Sam had surgery after surgery. They went through it. Bailey had head trauma to her shoulder, to her hips. Sam had numerous issues as well. And someone could say, "See, God isn't good to His word. He didn't keep them from going through that accident. No, he didn't. And you know, Jesus told us in John 16, in this world, you are going to have trouble. We're not home yet. When we get home to heaven, there's not going to be any trouble. But no one will ever be able to convince me that a car going 100 miles an hour and you're going 60 some and they hit head on, no one will ever be able to convince me that God's angels were not there to protect the lives of Bailey and Sam that day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. After Paul became a Christian, he became the greatest missionary that ever lived. He traveled around from place to place, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And everywhere he went, he was buffeted by people that didn't believe. He was persecuted. He was almost killed numerous times everywhere he went. He said, we despaired of life itself. We felt that we had received the sentence of death. God did not spare him from that. But look at how he continues. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who can even raise the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. What's Paul saying here? He's saying, no, we weren't delivered from this great persecution. We went through it. But it taught us a lesson. It taught us how to depend not upon ourselves, but instead how to depend on God, who, if he needs to, he can even raise the dead. And then I love how he says, and I think that God is going to continue to deliver us as you pray for us. Back to Bailey. There were so many people in this congregation, in our community, and throughout the world that were praying for her and for Sam. And just like prayers delivered Paul, our prayers work alongside our God in delivering us when we need deliverance from harm and danger. Now, obviously, this was a very long time ago that Paul went through this. And in 63 AD, Paul lost his life for his faith as he was executed. And once again, the doubters would say, see, God isn't good to his word. He said that he would protect Paul, and he lost his life for his faith. And not just him. 11 of the 12 disciples, save John, lost their lives for the faith. John was the only one that became an old man and died a natural death. Did God fail? Did he not keep his promise? Well, that leads to our very important point of the day, and it's this. If you make the Lord your refuge, he promises to keep you safe until it is time for you to go home to heaven. And by the way, it is not our goal as Christians to stay here on this earth forever. We are here to serve the Lord and to do our job. Then we get to go home to something that is far better than this. I think especially living over here in the West, where we're relatively comfortable, it's so easy for us to get mixed up and think that this is our home. This is not our home. The Bible is crystal clear on that. Heaven is our home. This is our workplace. We've got work to do while we're here. And it's not my goal to stay here forever. When he has crossed that last thing off my list, we who believe and are baptized get to go home to something that is far better than this. The people that die in the faith are not the ones to feel sorry for. We're the ones to feel sorry for. We're not home yet. They're enjoying all the blessings of heaven, which is far greater than this. This is a picture of my mother, Sherry Clark. She passed away about 13 years ago. I remember sitting there with my mom just a couple of days before she passed away. And her pastor from Spencer, Iowa, came in and sat there with her. And I remember Pastor Lee got right up there, kind of in her face, and said to her something like this, and I'll never forget it. He said, "Sherry, we must all walk through the valley of the shadow of death in order to get to our eternal reward. There's no other way, and all of us got to go through it to get there. There's going to be a day where it's going to feel like God didn't answer your prayer. Why didn't he answer the prayer for me or for my loved one? Because we all have to go through the valley of the shadow of death in order to get to that which is far greater than this. You are largely invincible until God is ready to take you through the valley of the shadow of death to your eternal reward." In Philippians chapter 1, Paul says it this way. He says, "For to me to live is Christ." In other words, when I live, it's to live for Jesus Christ. And to die is not loss, it's gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is, and I love this, better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Paul is saying, I don't know what I should choose. As if it's our choice, right? If I die, I get to go home to something far greater than this. But I'll probably stick around for a little while and help you guys out, because that will be fruitful labor for me and for the kingdom. God makes you and me some amazing promises here today, that he will hold back the destroyer, that he will protect us all the days of our life as we make him our refuge. And then at the end of our life, when he's crossed that last thing off our list, he's going to take us home to heaven, where we're going to see him face to face, as Pastor Ryan talked last week, when we're going to have those brand new bodies, when we're going to be reunited with our loved ones that we miss so much. And all of that is possible, the protection and the eternal inheritance, because 2,000 years ago, that same God came down here to this earth, lived a perfect life, and then died on a cross for you and for me to bring us back to God. So that now God is with us every day to watch over us, and then when it's our time, to take us home to be with him. Back in the 1930s, when the Golden Gate Bridge was being created, initially there were no safety devices that were used, and 23 men fell to their death working on the project. But for the final part of the construction, there was a large net that was put down as a safety precaution. At least 10 men lost their balance and fell into the net and were saved from certain death. Even more interesting is this. 25% more work every day was accomplished after the net was installed. Why? Because the men had the assurance of their safety and they were free to put their whole heart into the project. Why does God promise to protect you? Because if you're huddled in that corner, scared for your life, you're not going to be much good for the kingdom. But you can afford to go out into the world and serve the Lord in whatever He calls you to do because He has that protective net under you. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in anxiety. God has made you amazing promises. And like I said, you are largely invulnerable until the day that He's ready to take you home. And then that's going to be the best day of your life. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Because of Jesus, they are your promises." And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. What is an Amen? It's our way of saying, yes, I believe that. I put my trust in that. And so as we end this sermon here today, looking at this amazing promise of protection, let's say this prayer together as our amen to what God has promised. Lord God, my heavenly Father, You have made me amazing promises. I recognize that all of these promises are mine through faith and because of Jesus. I thank You for these promises, and according to Your word, I make You my refuge, my fortress, and my shield of protection. I trust You that You will protect me all the days of my life until You are ready to take me home. I love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.